Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
What's up? What's up? Beautiful outside. It's not going to be too hot either for those who are inclined to a little bit cooler of weather. Here, it's a perfect July Friday. Perfect
yes.
July Friday. Camp starting up next week. A lot of news yesterday.
A lot of news yesterday for a Thursday in July.
Including, by the way, some good news for the Bills. Late yesterday, announced officially today, their entire draft class for this year is under contract. TJ Sanders. There will be no holdout. He has signed, so good news on that front. We'll get into all of that from yesterday. There's plenty more. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've also got day two of the Open Championship going on in Northern Ireland. A lot of random names, but also some of the big guys about to tee off here in just a few minutes, including Scottie Scheffler, whose tee time is at 10:10, so it's in about 8 minutes. Brian Harman leading the way at 8-under, did win this exact tournament back in 2023. He plays with the power of the sloth. I cannot stand watching him play.
Wait, the power of the sloth?
I cannot stand watching him play. It is so slow. It is so obnoxiously slow.
Everyone's got their own pace, Zachary.
Oh, it's exhausting. I get tired watching him play. He hits the same amount of strokes as pretty much as everybody else. But watching him play is exhausting. It is exhausting. And we've all been there on a course, if you're a golfer, that you're just waiting super impatiently for the group in front of you. And then they've got to step back after their few practice swings. They got to check the distance again. They got to make hit. None of us are good. Hit the ball. Harman, a little bit different. You are going for it, but let's speed it up a little bit.
He's a professional. I would say I would allow him to be slower in that case.
A little bit faster. A little bit. I'm not asking for a ton.
Okay, shout song.
Oh, just off.
See, the only problem with him being like, oh, I'm going to like play a little bit slower and everything. Like, yes, that's fine. You're a professional. Take your time. But then people pick up on that and think, oh, I can do that too.
Yeah, what was it?
The problem.
It was six-hour rounds yesterday?
Yeah. But that might not be all of Brian Harman's.
I'll blame it all on him.
If somebody's emulating a professional based on their pace, That's a them problem.
Right, but the...
Like, don't do that.
Yeah, but if you're looking for somewhere to learn pace of play, don't look at Brian Harman.
Yeah, don't do...
That's all I'm saying.
The one... I don't know how much they show of him, like, getting ready to go and everything like that. Do they show him, like, taking these extra practice swings, stepping off, stepping back?
They will sometimes, but not all the time.
So, ready? Then they're watching and taking away the wrong thing.
It's brutal.
So, again, people are going to take from it what they want to take from it. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not. And that's perfectly normal.
Sometimes
that's kind of what the world is.
6.5 hour rounds yesterday. I don't know what we're on with the pace today, but yesterday it was bad. I don't know if there's any delays either. Didn't seem like there was. But we'll keep you posted on the Open as it goes on this morning. Again, Scottie Scheffler, the number ranked player in the world, teeing off in about 5 minutes. Again, as we did mention, though, a lot of news in the NFL world, a random Thursday in July. I get it. It's right before training camp, but my goodness, it was a big day. Maybe headlined even more so than the second round picks all kind of starting to sign. Mm-hmm. TJ Watt, he does get his contract extension. He is now paid $41 million a year. $1 million more than AFC North rival Myles Garrett. I know there was a Cleveland station that was having a bit of fun poking at TJ Watt. I don't know, guys. look, they may be like 9-8, but like they're in a better spot than you are.
That's like four more wins than the Browns are getting.
Yeah. 3-year deal, $123 million. Total guaranteed money, $108 million at signing.
Steelers 9-8 prophecy, baby.
It is weird though to watch them how they've been operating. Because it really is sort of in that sense of, oh, yeah, they you can't think you're a Super Bowl contender with this.
But and every NFL team.
They do seem to think that no, 9-8 might be just fine.
Every NFL team is saying the same thing to themselves. Never let your enemy stop them. Don't stop your enemy from making a mistake. And that's what's going on here. The Steelers keep making the mistake of, we got to stay relevant. We got to stay in competition here. We got to stay a playoff team. Even if it's a fringe playoff team, we got to keep this record of no losing seasons together and intact. There's no vision. It is just, let's put random pieces together and see what sticks.
That's kind of what it feels like. Is like, let's just see what happens. Maybe this will work. Look, I fine with keeping Watt, I guess. Although I was starting to get there with them. I was entertaining the idea of trade him. See what you can get for him.
If you could get everything for him.
If you could get 2 second round picks because he's 30, you're going to have to get a big extension to him.
It's still a first. It's TJ Watt.
Big extension, 30 years old. I could see a team not going for that. But no, if you can get 2 seconds, even a late first, cool.
You take at least a first round pick for him because TJ Watt does win you games by himself. He's done it for the Steelers. He could do it for you too. That's worth at least a first.
It's just I was entertaining
with
the idea
it being
with
a rental.
Well, but that's my thing though. If you're not signed to a big deal though, then
I'd say a first round and a second rounder for a rental for TJ Watt this year. Are you kidding?
But it depends on what team is going for it. Then that's the thing. I mean, they also may be like, we only want a mid first, so we're not talking to the Bills or the Chiefs because you guys are gonna be late in the first round. I'm not taking 30-32. But I would have entertained the idea just because where they're at, but then they did sign Aaron Rodgers, and they did trade for DK Metcalf and give him a big extension as well. And I think most of us are kind of sitting here. I don't know if their odds have ever changed
and
in terms
of the
Super Bowl.
And for some reason, they trade for Jalen Ramsey.
Like, none of their odds have changed. They're staying the exact same. They've retooled a bunch of stuff. Omar Khan did get an extension. But I look around the AFC North, and I brought this up with the Bengals as well, but really the only team I have any sort of fear for in that division is Baltimore. And it's been true for at least a year and a half, 2 years, because the Bengals have been in there. But now with the Bengals and everything going on with them and how they kind of operate, I don't really fear them as much. Their defense is not what it was 3 years ago now when they beat the Bills in the playoffs. It is not that unit anymore. And so I don't have as much fear there. And, you know, we were bringing up the top 10 quarterback list and the top four being what it is. But you also wonder what Joe Burrow's stats were if his team had a competent defense.
That's right.
If he didn't have to, you know, put up 35-plus every game. It's not to say he would be any worse. I'm not saying that. But we also wouldn't have these, oh my goodness, stats. He's clearly MVP kind of guy. When in reality, he's down all the time. He's willing his team to be competitive. I'm not even saying wins because they only have 9.
There's an inflation of the statistics because of the fact that he has to play the hero every time. And sometimes context is needed in that sense. Yeah, if you have a competent team and you're able to win comfortably, you're probably running the football a little more. Would you not?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's because of the fact that they are always chasing that Burrow has to do it. And how you win it if you're chasing? You're throwing.
Yeah, you got to throw the ball. It's just, you know, looking at the AFC North, it's still going to be a very competitive division. It always is. Those teams beat the hell out of each other. They always have, and they always will. And Pittsburgh will probably give a really tough game, because I do think Mike Tomlin is still a good coach, to Baltimore, Cincinnati, and they'll probably beat Cleveland a few times, right?
Mm-hmm.
They probably will sweep them, if we're being honest. Cleveland is really starting over. But then where does Pittsburgh go? If they go 9-8 again, I like what this quarterback class could look like this year.
Or even 10-7.
Even 10-7. I like what this quarterback class could look like this year. But if they're middle of the pack, there's also a really good chance they're not going to be able to trade up. All of a sudden, teams like the Jets, the Saints, the Browns, just off the top of my head, are all probably looking for quarterbacks. That's 3 of them. I like maybe four quarterbacks in this class, maybe. And we'll see if somebody else kind of emerges. But you're in the same spot you are always. And Rodgers has been open. He's going to retire after this year. Mm-hmm. That's what he's feeling at this point. That he's going to ride this out, play with Pittsburgh 1 year, and hang it up. So, you know, where are they going? It's great for T.J. Watt. For the second time in his career, he's the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. That's right. Awesome. And that is something you can hang your hat on.
And it's deserved, because I just mentioned T.J. Watt has single-handedly won the Steelers games in the past. Why do you think they always end up at 9-8 or 10-7?
Right.
It's because of T.J. Watt. It's not because of their quarterback play.
But it's just, I don't know. I don't really want Pittsburgh to tank and then start over. Like, I've kind of enjoyed that a great franchise of the 70s and 80s and you know, that you hear about growing up is not going to be that. But also part of me is kind of like, that's not how it should be. Right? Like, just in the NFL ether, the Steelers should always be competitive. They should always be one-upping you. They do it correctly, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. Now I look at them and go, where is your sense of pride? Where is the standard now? Is the standard still, we're here to get to AFC championships, AFC North titles, and Super Bowls every few years? Or is it now what the Detroit Red Wings were for a good period of time of, we just want to keep the streak alive, we just want to be relevant, we don't want to go back into the dumpster.
We've been here for too long. The end of Ken Holland's tenure with the Detroit Red Wings is kind of why they are still stuck in such perpetuity under Iserman.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Iserman's got his own faults at this point. At some point, you got to break through. But yeah, it's the fact that, like, you just needed to keep going and going and just make the playoffs or make it a season with just a winning record, staying relevant.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vision. And again, that's why I'm perplexed that Omar Khan got his extension, the general manager with the Steelers. And it really is something to me that, like, I don't pity Pittsburgh, though, either. Because the Steelers do need a true bottoming out.
Mm-hmm.
But that would also be good for them. And if they don't realize it, then I hope that they are bad for a while. Because they don't seem to recognize that, like, there are cycles in the NFL. And in all sports, there are cycles. If you don't end up respecting it at that point or recognizing that it is your turn, then you ultimately will pay a harsh price for it. There are cycles in sports. Sabres, please break that cycle.
It's just, for them, though, they've been so relevant forever. I mean, their worst record since 1970 is 5-9. So, like, since the, you know, the Mean Joe Green and the Steel Curtain, their worst record is 5-9. They kind of don't, honestly, they at this point kind of don't know what bottoming out is. They don't know what rock bottom is. They kind of just know that we need to stay here. The problem is they haven't drafted as well as in years past. The Kenny Pickett pick was a miss, and I still believe they did that entirely off of the Rooneys wanting to make up for missing on Dan Marino, going for another Pitt grad.
Yep.
Had a great season. We're going to go get him because we missed out on Danny. It didn't work, and it never really was going to work. He was an okay quarterback in a bad class.
As a matter of fact, we'll go a step further on this. Their worst record in the last 20 years,
mm-hmm,
is 8-8, which is an incredible thing.
Oh, it's the thing. I don't want to downplay it. That's why, like, even to 1970, like, they are a team that doesn't know what rock bottom is. Most NFL franchises have felt rock bottom in that time.
But the thing about it is, the last 7 years,
mm-hmm,
it has been a different style of it. 10-7 these last 2 years, but they look fraudulent near the end. 9-8, 9-7, and 1. A very fraudulent 12-4, where they started off 11-0 and then crumbled down the stretch. 8-8, 9-6-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that 9-6-1 is infamously the end of the three B's.
Yeah.
Ben, Bell, Brown.
Their last playoff win is in 2016 against the Chiefs. A Chiefs team who, I mean, that's before Mahomes.
That's the Alex Smith Chiefs.
Yeah, that's still Alex Smith Chiefs. That might be one of Andy Reid's first years there as well. Can't remember when he got there first. I think it was, 2013. So it's one of his first years, not his first. But 2016, we're almost a decade ago, the last time they won a playoff game. They've been there multiple times since 2017, 2020, 21, 23, 24. But these are also blowouts. They've become that seventh seed team that is you're there purely to kind of irritate the two seed for now no longer having a bye. Like, that's all you're there for. Green Bay is still the only seven seed to win a playoff game from a few years ago with Jordan Love against Dallas. It's just they're spinning their tires. They're not going anywhere. You kind of also have this week, and Bills fans, there's a segment of you out there. I know I've talked to most of you. You probably understand the feeling of Steelers fans going through right now. There's many Bills fans out there that want the Bills to fire Sean McDermott, but also kind of know in their hearts of heart it's not happening. They win too much. They keep winning AFC East titles. They're winning playoff games. They're right there, and they are. And Steelers fans, though, are looking for Pittsburgh and going, when are they going to fire Tomlin? And I think having the same feeling of, is it ever going to happen? Or is he just going to have to lead through his own accord?
But there's a difference in standard, though, too. That's mm-hmm. the other part of this. The Bills end up stuck in the same place in the postseason, but they are – actually, no, I can't even say that accurately. They're not always in the same spot.
No.
They just keep losing to the same team.
It's the same team. You're losing to the dynasty of the 2020s.
Yes. And
– it's the 90s Bills all over again. You lost to the dynasty of the 90s.
The Steelers did have that problem as well. But it is the fact that they are constantly challenging the hierarchy of the AFC mm-hmm. every year. They fall short, but they do challenge it. The Steelers are just here to lose in the wild card round, apparently.
Keep the streak alive, don't have a below 500 team, the whole thing, and that's what it is. That's what it's become. And I don't really know where they're going from here. And I'm fine with it. I'm ultimately fine with it. But there's, and I've mentioned this a lot, I like good football. I like when teams are innovative and different, and it makes the league feel alive. And for Pittsburgh to kind of just be doing the same thing over and over and over again is annoying.
This is where my hatred with the Tennessee Titans starts. Because at first they were this team. This mediocre, never all that entertaining.
Everyone kind of knew they were a bit of a paper tiger.
You're just there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you are good, it's fraudulent. And the Steelers, it's just, I don't know. You don't keep getting away with this without suffering at the end of it. And three of their last 4 years, playoff teams, but also three of the last 4 years, negative point differentials.
Mm-hmm.
They're just this existence that nobody should want. Yeah, the Bills have a plateau too. It's two rounds higher than where Pittsburgh ends up.
But, that's the thing, that is a difference. As we mentioned, Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game in 6 years, since 2016. They've been to the playoffs five times since.
Their offensive rank the last 4 years.
Oof, not good.
No higher than 16th.
What are their defensive ranks? If you add those up.
8, 6, 10, 20.
Oh, 20. Wow.
Oddly enough, they make the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
They have the 21st ranked offense, 20th ranked defense, and they still make the playoffs at a 9-7-1 record.
Hmm.
The standard is the standard, right?
It's just it's very weird to, and again, it's those things that frustrate me with sports as a whole, is a lot of these teams like just hanging on for dear life, not doing anything interesting, not doing anything different, but just trying to hold on to that sense of relevancy.
That was the last year of Roethlisberger, by the way.
And I even have kind of enjoyed the Bills bucking the trend, or them and the Chiefs kind of both bucking the trend, where everyone's thinking, you got to pass, and they're both like, too high safety. No, we're going to run the ball now. Even though we have our superstar quarterbacks, we're going to run the ball now.
We're going to balance it out.
It's different, and it feels alive. It's a big thing why I've liked college football. The play is not better. The play in pros is always better. But I have liked that there are different ways to win in college, although there does typically end up being the big way to win, which the Big Ten and the SEC teams usually have. But I've liked that college basketball, there's also that feeling too of different ways to win. And I've enjoyed that with the NFL the last few years of the different ways to win and teams innovating and getting a bit different. I don't always love them, but I like that it's happening. Like, I don't really care for the tush push, but I like that teams are taking advantage of a rule.
Right.
And it's why I've talked about Las Vegas, the Golden Knights. I like that they're bending the rules. I like that they're being aggressive. They're different from everyone else in hockey. Where Pittsburgh, to me, is just – it's the dying animal. It's the old boys club feeling of just like, yeah, we're just – happy to be
They're
here.
They're quite literally happy to be here at this point. And again, you have a coach that has seemingly lost his place a little bit. Or he hires some of the worst offensive coordinators of all time.
Arthur Smith now.
Matt Canada previously. Matt Canada
previously, yep.
But Kenny Pickett was the quarterback. That don't matter. Matt Canada sunk that ship. And the Steelers have this relatively dogmatic way of handling coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They have to let contracts expire. They rarely fire them. Matt Canada being fired in season was a rarity for Pittsburgh. And you had to go back to like before color television was a thing.
Yeah, they've had three coaches in most of our lives.
And that's just the head coaches.
Yeah.
But like any coaches, if you fire any coaches in season, you have to go back to before color television.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty only gets you so far if there's not talent on the other side. Ultimately, it becomes the ball and chain that sinks you.
Mm-hmm. I don't find them any more particularly interesting.
There's nothing inspiring about them.
No, and they're not particularly interesting. There's nothing inspiring about them. They'll play tough. They'll probably win their 9-10 games, but it'll be the same old, same old. And I'd say this if I was a fan in Pittsburgh too. Is like, how do you get excited for that?
But to be fair,
I've seen Steelers fans get really excited for the Aaron Rodgers move and the DK Metcalf trade and stuff like that, when in reality, I'm not saying tanking is the way to go, but there was also a realization of, we're going to have a tough season. Let's develop the young guys we have now, and let's prioritize, because football is all about who do you have at quarterback. Let's prioritize getting that guy. Instead, they go with the 41-year-old.
I think it's because of the fact that they don't know how it feels. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, they always kind of just figure it out.
It has been 20,
a draft class hits, and they're like 12-5, and they're fine.
It has been 20 years since they have been bad. And when that happened, they land Roethlisberger.
And they're in the AFC Championship his rookie year. What did he go, 15-1 in his rookie year? They're in the AFC Championship.
Yes. And there is something to that of, like, you know, being scared of losing because you haven't experienced it in 20 years. What the hell is that like, by the way, as I watch a hockey team flounder every year? But now it's different. When this 20 years of having no losing record begins, they are threats. They win Super Bowls. There is a different standard, literally, about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that last hurrah of them being good. It was after a couple of 8-8 seasons, but they retool everything, and it's Roethlisberger, Bell, and Brown. And they go on this 4-year run of like being legitimate threats. They can't get home.
Mm-hmm.
But they're threats. And then all of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell holds out, and everything since then has crashed and burned.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, the loss to Jacksonville in the AFC divisional game. Then they missed the playoffs the next 2 years. And then it's, you know, 2020, you lose to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns at home.
Get smacked.
Yeah.
That's not just a loss. They got embarrassed in that game.
Mm-hmm. You lose to Kansas City, also in embarrassing fashion. If I remember that score correctly, it's not even close. 42-21.
And then
you miss the playoffs the next year.
That Cleveland loss, though, that's when they start 11-0.
That's right. But that was also the year everyone was like, I can't wait to be the first team that beats Pittsburgh because they're not good. And like everyone knew they weren't good.
Then Washington beats them. Then Buffalo beats them right after that.
Yep. But then they get to turn 23 against Buffalo. It's a blowout, 31-17. And then last year, maybe the most humiliating one, is a 28-14 loss to Baltimore in which they just ran the ball on you.
And you faded again. That is something that Pittsburgh's often been doing, is they fade down the stretch. Very rarely has it been about where... Oh, and like the Steelers, the one year that they make the playoffs in 2021, it is because the Chargers go ahead and just call a timeout in overtime. There was a tie about to happen to eliminate the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm. And that would have gotten both the Chargers and the Raiders in, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That's that one.
Huh.
Yeah.
I now remember that. I really wanted that to happen.
They don't oftentimes get in on their own merit as of late. It is because they started well enough against a bad schedule to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
It is schedule fortune that keeps landing them where they get to.
Yeah. They were the sixth seed, though, last year. I think I said they were the seventh. They were the sixth seed last year.
Yeah, Denver ended up as the seven, seed, but... Yes. Denver also heading into the playoffs, you could trust them more than Pittsburgh.
It was the year they played Buffalo. They were the seventh seed.
Correct.
Yeah, just there's nothing inspiring. There's nothing really interesting about them. But good on T.J. Watt, though. He is now, as I mentioned, the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. $41 million a year.
I feel bad for T.J. Watt because he's never going to know true success.
I think he's fine with that at this point. You're 30. You kind of know what your career is. Like, you are still playing for the Steelers. He's going to be one of their iconic names. He got a ton of money. And to be fair, it's not like his brother J.J. Like, it's not like we're having like a Peyton Eli situation where Eli, you know, you had people – he's the better postseason quarterback. Like, the Watt brothers are great. They are what they are. And they're defensive players. They don't have that truly attached to the legacy. TJ will be fine. He's got his Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's, as I mentioned, twice in his career, the highest paid non-quarterback.
As an NFL fan, I want TJ Watt freed from the Steelers.
Yeah, I'd like to see him on a different team, but it was like, I want to see him on Buffalo. But, you know, our luck is he somehow winds up on the Chiefs after they get rid of Chris Jones or something like that. So we'd actually get no freedom. 803-0550, the number to call. It is pouring at the Open Championship. Scotty birdies hole number one to go 4 under for the tournament. Harmon still leads the way 8 under. His round is over for the day. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
What's the saying? Right church, wrong pew? I'm sure you've heard that. I do think Saban to the NFL makes sense, but remember what happened in Miami. He wanted Drew Brees. He had Drew Brees locked in, and the doctors didn't clear Brees, so he had to settle for Culpepper, got the hell out of town. Quarterback matters for Saban. Colin, unless they go 3-14 and can get Arch Manning, I don't think that Dak Prescott gets Saban to the Cowboys. But I think the team to watch would be the Buffalo Bills. If they slip up in the postseason, they are favorites, and they want to run out McDermott, Saban plus Josh Allen in Buffalo, getting the Bills, finally that Super Bowl that's been elusive.
FS1's Jason McIntyre on the herd there, talking what has kind of started at SEC Media Day, thanks to Lane Kiffin, who, by the way, with Paul Feinbaum later, kind of joked that he was bored, so he's like decided to just throw out there that Saban's returning to coaching. Which, it's my favorite part, is that he's like, I was bored here. Like, there's nothing going on. Like, I missed my old coach. Bored. So I just said he's going to start coaching again, which I find hysterical. I do agree on one point, and I know Urban Meyer later on, I think in that exact show, told Colin, I don't think he goes back to college. I agree on that. He got out at the perfect time. We never got to see how Alabama did with Nick Saban in the NIL era. They're doing not the best in terms of NIL money. They are doing well in recruiting, but we never really got to see how Saban dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know guys like Kirby Smart, who's very much of the Nick Saban elk. I mean, he comes from his coaching tree, hates it. Still doing well, though. I agree. If he returns to coaching, I don't think he does, it will be the NFL.
No.
He would never go back
to the NFL.
But that's the thing. I don't think he's going back. But he's 100% not going back to college. I think there's a 99% assured he's not coaching again. But that 1% is NFL.
No, that 1% is still also college.
It's not college.
You want to know why?
It's not college.
He's not good at the power dynamic of the National Football League.
I think he'd be just fine with it.
He was awful with it.
Because quarterback was terrible. He had a bad team and was trying to figure it out. If he has a quarterback, I think he's fine.
It's not about quarterback. It's about power. It's a lot of college coaches' biggest problems. It is a power dynamic.
I don't see him having that issue anymore. If that was the issue solely in Miami, it wasn't. He's not going to have that problem. He's a delegator now to his coaches.
Yes, but also, like, still, I don't think that Saban, who, and this is that 1% of him even returning to coaching, he would probably have the same pitfalls that he had when it comes to control, not being the most important person in the room, which is something that a lot of college coaches fail at. Whether they are younger coaches that come up the ranks or they are older ones that jump from college to pro, it rarely ends well for any of them because they are the backbone of a program. They are not the backbone of an NFL team.
See, I think that can work in the NFL. I think it does often. Sean McVay is the most important person for the Rams. He is number one on the call sheet. It can work. You just have to win. Bill Belichick's disciples, who all wanted to copy the authoritarian thing, were just bad at it. McDaniels didn't have a quarterback and then was kind of a nutcase. He was bad at it. Bill O'Brien had the quarterback. You just found out he's a bit of a nutcase. And that was their problem.
How many of those guys made the jump right from college, though?
Well, I'm saying from that, the authoritarian. It can work in the NFL. The jump from college.
There's
the
a difference between authoritarian, though, and college coach authoritarian types. Not even authoritarian. College coaches. You are supposed to be the backbone because players leave in three or 4 years, sometimes sooner, based on transfer portal. You have to be the backbone of the program. You have to be the most important person in there.
Yeah.
It is almost a necessity. And in the NFL, if the quarterback is better and they don't respect you, you're out of here. Even if the quarterback's halfway decent and you try to treat yourself as more important than them, you're probably gone. The only example you brought up is McVay, who has not been a directly from college person. He grew up in the pro ranks.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how it goes. So while he is probably the most important person in the Los Angeles Rams, got myself there. While he is the most important person with the Rams in their organization, he also knew he needed a better quarterback.
Well, yeah, you're dead in the water if you don't have a quarterback.
But that's the thing. He understands the power dynamic as well. That it needs to be better, and I need a better quarterback to do that. He understands. That's the thing. College coaches very rarely understand, and that is why they all fail.
Well, because it's not a different sport anymore, though. It's not. It's the same. The coach now is the backbone, but you're making about the same as your players,
but
your big players.
However, Saban left when the sports are now starting to become more similar.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, Kirby Smart doesn't like it. He's at Georgia. Sark seems fine with it at Texas. I mean, for the most part, because they're spending a lot of money. Same with Ryan Day.
But that's also a man that would refuse to relinquish power. That's why he would never coach in the pros.
See, I think you can get by with it. You just need to win. It was no one liked Belichick playing for him, but like, we won. We're fine. So you deal with it. The moment you don't start winning, that's the problem. And that's where a lot of these disciples of Belichick, and no, they didn't come right from college, but that's teams don't hire right out of college.
Because it always burns them.
No, stick with the NFL. Stick with the NFL. It's the same with college. You stick with college. There is a difference in the jump, but it doesn't happen. Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame would walk in and be a great college or great NFL coach. He just would. He gets along well with everybody. He is a former player. He can do it. The problem, if you're not winning, Nick Saban didn't immediately win, but he was with a bad team, and he didn't really like the media constantly pushing him, and
Chip
he didn't
Kelly
have a quarterback.
Won initially.
Yeah.
And then he still screwed it up with the power dynamic.
Well, because they made him GM.
Because what do they want? They want total control.
But that's most coaches.
Because that's what they're used to.
But that's most coaches.
Most coaches.
Most coaches would love to be GMs. Teams have to be smart and go, no, we're going to have somebody else help you out. You have to have an ego. It's the same with quarterbacks. I think it's ridiculous when people are like, I like a humble quarterback. No, you don't. You want one that's a psycho. That is like, I'm the greatest gift that this world's ever put on this earth. I am the reason this city is relevant. That's what you want. You want the same in a coach that thinks everything they do is correct, but you have to have counterbalances. College doesn't always have them, but college coaches are now starting to get them, where they'll have an assistant that pulls them back, that stands on their side. You'll see them standing on their side constantly. They're literally just whispering in their ear to be like, hey, keep doing this on defense. Run the ball. Stick to the plan. I've heard a few guys talk about that at SEC Media Day, where like that's a thing now with coaches. They're all egomaniacs. You don't get to this job without being a bit of a nutcase.
College football, though, has been for the longest time a system of that. And now that it is changing, Nick Saban never lived in that part of it. He never coached in that part of it where it is changing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no checks and balances. And for coaches like that, there's no way he would go back and coach in the NFL, because it is the same thing that he effectively walked away from, which is how college football is changing more toward a pro style.
See, I think he'd be happy to go back to the NFL if he was younger. There is actually checks and balances. College right now has none. It's all paid. Guys can leave after 1 year. The recruiting classes kind of don't matter to a certain extent, because, again, if you recruit a guy but he wants to play right away and you don't, he could be out and he was the linchpin to your class. LSU, perfect example, Bryce Underwood. He was the linchpin to their class this year. Quarterback, number one player. Dave Portnoy in Michigan reportedly paid him way more. He's gone. That was the linchpin to their entire recruiting class. Now, luckily for them, Garrett Nussmeier came back, so they're all right. They're fine, and they're recruiting really well this year. But there's actual checks and balances in the NFL. And to be fair, you're dealing with adults, which mm-hmm. that's something for a lot of these guys they'd rather deal with. They like having the junior seniors knowing what they're doing. These guys get burnt out because they don't have a quarterback.
Yes, but
Urban Meyer is the worst example for this, because Urban, you saw, came in and decided he was going to treat it like a college program.
And that's why it doesn't – like, that's why Saban would not. Because Saban is still used to that style of, like, college, to where it will not translate. And he knew it. That's why he's walked away. That's why he's never coming back.
No, I think he just retired. He's done. He's good.
Well, that's true. He's also accomplished everything he needs to accomplish.
He's retired. He's good. He's not going to be the same coach that he was in, what, 2006 when he's in Miami?
Yeah.
That was young Nick Saban coming from LSU. I'm the best. I brought them their first national championship. These guys are going to make mistakes, especially at that early part. There was such a difference between college and the pros. Now there's a bit of a less one. The pros has more guardrails.
Yes.
You're seeing coaches trying to leave college to be coordinators of position coaches in the
NFL.
And
now allows me the chance to walk something back I said. I think college coaches nowadays would probably be more well-geared to being NFL coaches. Whereas back in the day, before NIL or the transfer portal really became relevant, they have not.
Yeah, I mean...
But Saban never took part in this. So
well, no, but
that's why he would fail.
He did in the first parts, though. He got out before it got bad.
Yes.
I mean, remember, this is only Kalen DeBoer's first year at Alabama. Mm-hmm. He's now going into year two. He was there for when it was like, okay, this is getting, I don't like this. He had to beg it. There's a video out there, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, where he's essentially begging boosters from Alabama, like, hey,
we need money.
We need money here, guys. Like, we are now competing against the Joneses of the world. Texas has oil money. You know, the northern schools all have really rich alumni. We got to, like, work this out. And that's why, like, I bring up Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame.
Right.
The only reason they're not in the NFL, they're being paid double some NFL coaches.
Yeah.
Sark is making, like, $9 million a year at Texas.
And that's what I mean about...
In the same state, Schottenheimer in Dallas, I'm pretty sure, is making 4.4.
And that's why I mentioned something about, like, they are used to being the pillars, and in the NFL, they are not. And that's really where I was coming from with that argument, is they are the most important people in that building, always, bar none. And nowadays, though, it's different. It is evolving. It's changing and it's shifting. And I do believe part of my thought on Saban leaving is because of that. He knew he would not translate well with this. He knew it would not be something more suited to his style. And that's why he decided also to leave. He also accomplished everything he needed to. But he knew he was going to suffer from this and wanted out before he started losing. Or started more or less regressing to the mean, which is, you know, sometimes you win the SEC championship instead of always. That's why I think that that's still the case. And why, if he were to return, it would be to a program in college that would accept him as a short-term answer for something before they found a long-term guy. why would you get back into the rat race of the NFL if you already accomplished everything that you need to?
I mean, you can ask the same though for Pete Carroll. And Carroll did work when he came from USC.
And Carroll's the one example that you can bring up, because for every Pete Carroll, I can bring you a Chip Kelly or a Matt Rhule.
We can bring a Pete Carroll because he learned, but he learned from his mistakes.
He learned. He had to be humbled first.
Carroll went to the Patriots, right? It wasn't the Jets. Yep. It was the Patriots. You know, you realize the authoritarian thing doesn't work because they all – yeah. I mean, look, you're right to a certain extent. Most of them are coming because they've reached the pinnacle of college football. Mm-hmm. They should have big egos. The problem is they go to bad teams that have no quarterback. And then when they start the authoritarian BS,
but they oftentimes have a chance to pick their quarterback.
Sometimes, if you have a good quarterback class. Saban, from all reports I've ever read, Saban really wanted Breeze.
Does
Saban ever go to Alabama if he lands Breeze? No. There's no shot he goes ever to Alabama. He has Drew Breeze. We all know what he became. The arm strength was not the issue.
Right.
He ended up being just fine. He maybe isn't the 5,000-yard, all-time pass yards guy, but he's probably really good. And Saban probably never goes to Alabama because he's got his quarterback. I'm fine. I'm good. Bill Belichick, I mean, it's kind of, you know, famous now because I know this station's done a lot. Before Brady's got, what, a 500 or just below 500 record?
Yeah.
They all know that. The difference in college is you can recruit your quarterback constantly. In college, you don't always need a quarterback. Like, Saban's winning national titles with Greg McElroy and A.J. McCarron.
Winning differently, as you had mentioned in the last segment. I still think that there is something to it where the old guard of college football, it didn't succeed for a reason. And now, I'd be curious if a college coach jumps to the NFL and is a head coach. I'd be more curious about it now. Because you are dealing with constant shifting, which is free agency. And having to deal with players getting paid. And maybe they might have a more important status than you. Now I'm actually interested.
I think it would work more. I mean, I will bring up Marcus Freeman's name forever. And I know Notre Dame fans also probably are constantly feeling this every offseason of when is Freeman going to not jump ship, but just too much money's being offered.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making a ton at Notre Dame. And I just looked up real quick some NFL coaching contracts. It's the big guys that are being paid the most. Reed is at $20 million. Peyton's at 18. Tomlin's 16. The guys that have been there and done it forever, they're there. But the young guys coming up, outside of Ben Johnson, it's a lot of guys that have been there.
I do love, though, ultimately at the end of the day, and the perfect way to wrap up this segment, Josh wanted to play this because McIntyre said something ridiculous that involved the Bills, and we touched none on that part.
Well, we did with the quarterback. We did mention the quarterback. Kind of. The Bills are not, they're not firing Sean McDermott to hire Nick Saban.
No.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR. Quick segment here as we wrap up hour number one. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today with Frank on the line. Frank, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing well.
That's good. I was listening to your first hour of your segment, and I have to call in. I got to vehemently oppose your opinions on Drew Brees.
Uh-oh.
You said he is just fine as a quarterback. He, quite frankly, is the second best quarterback to ever grace the NFL in the history of all time, only behind Tom Brady. That's all I got to say. I'll hang up and listen.
Who said that?
I think I may have misspoke. He has a fine arm. I never say he's a fine quarterback. I may have misspoke.
Okay.
He is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's not second best, though.
Not
second best.
Brees has enough accolades and talent that you can argue it. I'll accept that part of it.
I don't think he has enough accolades to warrant that. He's not the second best quarterback. We can get into that. He's not the second best.
I'm not going to get into
He's top 10. I'd put him more like 9-10.
I respect your opinion if you say it.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's fine. But yeah, I don't think any of us were bashing Drew Brees there, my guy. Just wanted to let you know.
He did have about an average arm, though.
Yes. But it was able to do enough work, apparently. A lot of damage, considering.
Yeah.
So.
Second best. I feel like we're ignoring people's existence by saying Breeze is second best. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show, because
I'm so frustrated right now.
So in the break, we had just taken a call from somebody mentioning we had talked about Drew Brees with Nick Saban, and he brought him up as well, and that led to, in the break, us talking about where Brees went to school, and that being Purdue. And that,
yeah, thanks, Frank. You decided to accidentally set something off here.
And so that led to the conversation, Frank, of Purdue's nickname being the Boilermakers and how ridiculous that is.
No, shut up.
And that has now led to the conversation of the worst sports names in existence. I already know where Jeremy White's going to go with this. Kraken, Seattle Kraken.
Okay.
I disagree.
Okay.
But it's taken me a little of time to get there.
Okay.
There are some bad names. I find most of them, though, in college.
Most of them are in college. And I'm going to say something very controversial here. I'm kind of scared to do it. Also considering who we work with.
Dare to be brave.
Why is a team name just called Orange?
I don't know. And I that's my thing. That's my thing. So that's Syracuse.
I'm sorry, Sal and Jeremy, but Orange.
And here's my thing with some of these. I know for a fact there's
Orange,
probably
what?
Stories.
Is it just and I know, like, well, Ottawa is the fruit. Orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at least they stick to it. Congratulations to you. Unlike the Liberty Flames, who's got a logo with a bird on it.
Yeah.
Like, make it fire at that point. Like, help yourself. Crimson Tide, why is it an elephant? At least the orange is an orange. But what about an orange is a good team name?
And so that's my thing. Like, I know some of these are going to be historic, especially
I'm sorry,
teams.
And I know that, like, one of them is going to catch me when I'm slacking, and, like, I'm going to be fine with that, but.
But, like, again, like, I know with college teams there's going to be a lot of historical relevancy. Like, I've already mentioned, like, Princeton's won the most national titles. They won their first one in 1869. The Civil War ended 4 years prior. Like, there's some history here with a lot of these team names. I get it. But also, you bring, like, the Syracuse Orange. What is this? And then the Alabama teams, Crimson Tide, but their mascot's an elephant. And then you get into, sticking with Alabama, Auburn. They're the Tigers. Why right. is their chant a war eagle? They have an eagle fly through the stadium at Jordan-Hare when they get games going.
Why aren't they the Auburn Eagles?
That's my whole thing. Just be the Auburn War Eagles. It's your chant already. I don't understand.
Yeah,
and,
wait,
and
yeah,
that's,
wait, yeah.
That's
yeah,
where,
wait.
That's where people lose me.
Help me.
That's where people lose me with the nicknames.
Yeah.
Like, is that it has no – your mascot or your name don't match. And it bothers the you-know-what out of me because I don't understand it. And to be perfectly honest, I don't really care for the story because just change it.
And I'm
lashing – You can modernize. You can – go less on. Bring them together.
I'm lashing out because I'm defending Purdue. Like, yeah, Boilermakers. I don't know if it's a great name for a sports team.
No, it's objectively horrendous.
But
it's bad. It's really bad.
Shut up.
It's brutal.
So's Orange and Cornhusker.
Cornhusker's like, it makes sense.
No. Like, Nebraska and Purdue are birds of the same feather,
yeah.
But Nebraska just wins football games.
That's the thing.
Okay.
Cornhusker looks a lot worse if they didn't win the 90s. That's
yeah. Fair. If they were,
it makes sense. It's the same with Purdue. Well, makes sense. Purdue just didn't win, so it's funny.
Yeah, but
Nebraska
see,
won, so you have to be nice.
Yeah.
What is Nebraska's
won,
mascot?
So you have to be nice.
What's Nebraska's mascot? It's a dude, like a farmer dude, dressed up,
yeah.
And it's a piece of corn.
And Purdue's mascot.
That's what it used to be. But Purdue's mascot's literally a Boilermaker.
Yes. Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's a dumb name.
Like Syracuse, who I lashed out on unfairly.
Might be a little fairly.
Still, I'm lashing out. I know this. At least they stick to it. The mascot is the name. I don't know how you make a mascot a Crimson Tide, though, for example. So you got to do something. But elephant?
But why an elephant?
I don't know.
I just have so... Why an elephant? Why?
I don't know.
The Alabama teams make no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're good. Good for them, but why? And then you have also teams like Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights. That's too cool of a name for Rutgers.
Hang on. No,
they adopted the elephant because due to a sports writer's description of the 1930 football team as being as large and powerful as a herd of elephants. The nickname, the Red Elephants, referring to their red crimson jersey, stuck, and eventually the elephant became the school's official mascot, with the nickname being originated in the 30s, and the mascot didn't appear until 1979.
Cool. But it started in 1930?
Well, mm-hmm. I guess.
When World War I was still called the Great War, and they assumed there'd only be one?
Yep. The guy that wrote it, his name was Everett Strupper.
That makes complete sense for an article author in 1930. That makes complete sense. That's incredible.
His name is Big Al, though. That's a pretty good. That's awesome. That's a great mascot name.
That is one of my favorite things to do, is to go on MLB reference and find the players that played, in 1901 and their names. You're like, this is, come, no, really? The names have changed.
Auburn is probably the one that's infuriating me more now that you say it, of like, why not Eagles? Why not War Eagles? Like, that's your chant. And then like, hey, look, it's a Tiger. We already have other college programs that are Tigers. Be the War Eagles. There's no War Eagles in college.
If I remember correctly.
I found out. Cool. I figured out Auburn. Why they yell War Eagles.
I want to see if I, because I watched a documentary I remembered it. So I want to see if it's right.
Okay. I need help. So help me.
Well, what's your memory of it?
It was a documentary 30-30 about Alabama, Auburn, the Iron Bowl, all that. And if I remember correctly, it was an Auburn historian saying that like a fan just saw an eagle flying over and went, War Eagle, and it just continued. And that's like all we got from it.
Well, according to this, the phrase War Eagle originated from a legend involving a Civil War veteran who brought a captured eagle to the first Auburn-Georgia football game in 1892. During the game, the eagle broke free and circled the field, inspiring Auburn to victory. Fans began chanting War Eagle, and it's become
So they were the
tradition.
Tigers before the eagle showed up.
In 1892.
But they were still at least
Civil War veteran was in attendance for this game.
That's actually kind of nuts.
See what I mean, though? With Princeton, their first national title, 4 years after. By the way, no, you don't get to claim that. I have the same feeling about Texas and Alabama claiming national titles in 70 and 73. You lost your last game. You don't get to claim national titles. Same thing there. Statute of limitations. That's gone. We start over.
Okay. I've got probably objectively the worst college football name, though.
Okay.
Sam Houston.
No, I like this one.
Is the Bearcats. But cats in Bearcats is spelled with a K.
That can stay.
No.
That's got character.
I need grammar. I need structure.
Well,
help me.
Yeah.
If I'm going to at least unfairly attack college names, I can fairly attack this one.
I kind of like that they did that.
No, I have no respect for that.
803-0550, the number to call. PJ is with us. PJ, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Good morning. So just real quick, first of all, I'm team anti-orange. I feel like naming any college team over a color is brutal. But so you have to just go back a little bit, though. They used to be called the Orange Men, and unfortunately, because of racist undertones, the Native American population wasn't happy.
Smart.
So they had to change it because of that. But I feel like they should have just did a complete rebrand, because naming yourself after a color now is just brutal. So I don't feel like it's intimidating. I don't feel like it's cool. So I'm completely, anti-orange, but they changed it because they were getting some, some people that were not happy with the original name. So.
PJ, appreciate that. Thank you for the intel on that. And also for being on our side.
Yeah, right.
Like, exactly. Rebranding is absolutely the right way you should have done it, because, like, look at Washington with the Commanders now, or even, I can say one local here, Lancaster.
Yep.
Like, they did a rebrand.
Yep, you can do a rebrand.
You could do a rebrand, keep the colors, and find something else that's cool. Maybe even take War Eagles from Auburn and really upset them.
I don't know if I necessarily need intimidating, though. I just want something sounds cool. I want it to flow well.
Yes.
So I think that's maybe even where, like, I'm not totally for War Eagle for Auburn, because Auburn War Eagles, I don't love the sound of that. But, like, Arizona Wildcats, that hits. I think that flows well, that works.
Like, if we are mocking Syracuse for being just the orange, do we do the same with North Texas and the Mean Green?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mean Green is just...
It's ridiculous.
If I was... Hey, Coach, who do we play this week? The Mean Green. The who?
The like, who? Right? The
like what?
We are not, this is not playing backyard baseball. Like, we need a good name
that's,
here.
That's below backyard baseball. That's, that is below that's a disrespect baseball. To backyard
right.
baseball.
He's right. He's right.
Yeah, Pablo Sanchez would never,
no,
never suit up for the mean
dead
green.
On the mean green.
I didn't realize it until now. The SEC has two Tigers. Three yeah. Tigers. They have three.
Clemson, Auburn.
SEC.
Nope.
Oh, SEC.
SEC, sorry.
Auburn, LSU, Missouri. All Tigers.
That's right. Mizzou moves into the conference yep. and is yep. the third Tiger.
That's awful.
Yeah, we got to get some variations.
You know what? I feel like
now I'm back to Auburn Eagles.
I feel like back in 1892, they should have changed their team name.
They should have done it.
They should have done it.
They should have done it.
You know who else should have changed their team name? This might be controversial. The LA Lakers. There are. Where,
yes.
Where is there a lake or multiple California. Lakes yeah. near where the Lakers play?
It's the same with the Utah Jazz, too. Like, what are we doing
yes.
here? Yeah.
I get it. You came from Minnesota, but that was. The Clippers didn't stay the Braves.
No.
Right. They
changed.
They did
to
a full
the Clippers.
Which, oddly enough, that one probably makes more sense to keep around than the Lakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's kind of universal. Lakers is very geographical. If you're not near a bunch of lakes, or, I don't know, 10,000 of them, you should not be called the Lakers.
The worst thing that happened to them is they got successful. They couldn't change the name
yep.
then.
Yeah,
because that was the worst part. The brand
I was about
the
to
Lakers.
Say it. I was about to say it of like, is Lakers even actually a good name?
It's not bad if you're near a lot
if
of
you
lakes.
Play in, if you play in Minnesota or Buffalo or Cleveland, yes.
Yeah, anywhere around the Great Lakes, you're fine.
You're fine. I think the thing is, though, a lot of it, because it's the same with Nebraska. You won, so you kind of like just deal with it. Nebraska Cornhuskers, you won, you're fine. Lakers, you won a lot, you're fine. It's
oh,
not
we're
a great
get,
name, though. It's
I'm
going to
upset a lot of people now. Red Sox and White Sox. I have to pair them both up here. But no. That's a bit. The thing that I wear on my feet.
Listen,
is a team name?
It's the original. It's the
No. If you guys late, are going to attack Boilermakers, I'm attacking Sox.
I'm not defending it by any means, but it's the late 1800s, early 1900s. Mm-hmm. They're trying to differentiate teams just by any way possible.
We've got some offerings here. The worst sports team name in your opinion. The Georgetown Hoyas, Cleveland. Kevin tweets Ooh. In, Georgetown Hoyas. It's a rock. They have a dog mascot.
Oh, my God.
It's a rock?
Mike tweets in, the Akron Zips, their mascot is a kangaroo. I like the kangaroo mascot.
But Zips?
It's the Zips part.
It's the Zips part.
It's the Zips part.
TJ. TJ Luckman, our own TJ Luckman, suggesting up the Stanford Cardinal. Singular Cardinal.
Yep. I think he's right on that.
Yeah.
And their logo has a pine tree in it.
Oh, that's right. They have the tree.
And
yeah.
The mascot is a tree.
The mascot is a tree.
And
but they're called the Cardinal.
Tree.
Is
oh,
this, we are going to have so much fun with this.
Is this just a college thing?
No. Because I'm dogging on the White Sox and the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. All right,
so, Minnesota.
Twins.
Twins are not threatening at
Twin
being
City.
Good.
Twin City. It's Twin the City. Twin City.
Twin City.
Okay.
That one works.
Different.
That one
different.
Works.
Okay.
Geographical. If they ever move, they have to change their name.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you know they won't now.
No,
they
won't.
That's the Minnesota team's life. You
Unless
don't,
they
you don't
go to another Twin City area.
Actually, you know what? What about the Athletics?
Yeah, but even when Minnesota went to Dallas, they just took the north part out.
What about the Athletics? Everyone's
like
an
Texas
athlete.
Texas Stars. Like the Stars of Texas.
Yeah.
Like that's.
They were able to keep it. They're like, this works.
It does work. But
we're just going to get rid of the North.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Athletics?
Mm.
Everyone's an athlete.
It's way worse now that Oakland's been taken out of it. That they're just
the
Athletics.
Well, that's because.
Oh, I know.
That's because their owner sucks and they don't have a home yet.
But like it put it in bold and you're like, did no one show up to creative writing or even just put in the effort into this?
I know it has to do with
the only way it gets worse if they were like, we're the Oakland ball players. Like, oh, really?
Now that's an
surprise.
That's an 1800s baseball.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Also, they originated from the Philadelphia Athletics, who turned professional in 1875.
You have plenty of time to change it.
Brendan tweets in, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes.
And
any
the
reason
Cleveland
to hate Ohio
Guardians.
State.
I feel like this is just a hatred towards Ohio from Brendan because he also does Cleveland Guardians.
The Buckeyes kind of makes sense.
I think that has something to do with Ohio. I don't know the history
it's like
to
a,
it.
It's the Buckeye tree.
Oh, it's the Buckeye tree. Thank you.
Yes, but.
Still not, objectively not a great name, though, for a mascot.
Correct. And also, yeah, it's a Buckeye tree. Brutus is their mascot.
Yeah,
Brutus
his,
is not
his
a tree.
Head, his head is in the shape of a Buckeye. Or not the Buckeye tree. What is a Buckeye? It's
what is a Buckeye? See, the fact that we have to – ready? If Ohio State wasn't successful, we'd be talking about them like Purdue.
I'm still not over the Stanford Cardinal, the singular Cardinal.
Yeah, and it's a tree. No, it is. It's the Buckeye tree nut.
Okay.
And that's the shape of Brutus's head.
That's terrifying.
That's why his head is like oblong and
M tweets oblong. And also the Guardians.
The Guardians.
I think that's also just true. Like, a lot of people don't really like the newest names. I've already mentioned Jeremy, I know, is pretty famous now for not liking Seattle Kraken. Washington Commanders has not been well received, I think, by most people.
Cleveland should have gone back to the Spiders.
Hang on. Guys.
Yes. Although, they couldn't, could they? Was there something with that or no?
Oh, the Richmond Spiders.
The Richmond Spiders, I think, were like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Wait. We attacked Syracuse.
Yeah.
Why didn't we go after the Browns?
Oh, the
As
Cleveland Browns.
T. Cheflin tweets in.
Well.
Cleveland Browns, named after Paul Brown. It is a bit ridiculous.
They got a lot going on over there.
They got a lot going on over there. This is a great segment. I'm glad
Josh
we
is
did
right.
This.
They do have a lot going on, but also you named your team after a person that was alive at the time when you named them.
And then your mascot is an elf.
You named them after your owner.
They're like,
real cool.
Is it no longer
Thanks for
dog?
Having money. The team is named after you.
They have that weird logo of an elf.
Oh, I mean, they have that, but their mascot's been the dog. Because they've got the dog pound. Which that also makes no sense.
We dunk on all these college teams, and here we are, like the Cleveland Browns are just standing there, like, wait, we're used to ridicule. Why aren't you going after us?
Just give us a minute. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Wait your turn.
How do we feel about Buffalo Bills?
Because someone tweeted that in. That's
dare. I was well.
Bold. Now it's dark. Tweets in the Bills.
I get it.
Asking honestly. Is Buffalo Bills a good name? Or is it more we like the Buffalo part of it?
That's the thing. Like, I know what the reference is. It's about, and here's where it doesn't make sense.
The serial killer, you're right, yeah. I'm kidding. Buffalo Bill, you've never seen that movie?
Wild Bill Cody?
But what
Wild
I'm
Bill saying, Cody.
But the thing also, is that, yeah. ready?
it's Buffalo about Bill, a yes. cowboy. Where, outside of country festivals, do we get that around Buffalo? Outside of Josh bringing in his hat every now and then.
There you go.
Do we have a cowboy in Buffalo? Where in the cowboy is Buffalo?
Yeah, like for being honest.
If we're being real
here. We're not
here,
the Wild West, obviously. We're in the East.
Yeah. It doesn't fit. And much like the Nebraska Cornhuskers, if we were terrible for our entirety of existence, there would be a lot more dogpiling on the name.
I think so. I think it's probably right. That's probably right. Nate tweets in as well, Bills. Not Nate Geary. Different Nate.
I realized I said that.
Geary like, would do that, though.
I realized I said that. Like, I don't want to give him like unnecessarily flame. His feet do that for him.
Oh, no.
But...
Nate Feet joke.
But I do wonder about Buffalo Bills. Like, is it a genuinely good name, or has been where I kind of stick with this? It's been around for so long, you kind of just accept it and know it for what it is. I feel that way already about the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a new name, but they've been such a fabric of the NHL for so long, really since they've started, that it Golden Knights. I know they're there.
Hang on. A pretty good tweet from OG. The New Orleans Pelicans.
That makes sense. Pelicans are native to New Orleans.
I liked them better when they were the Hornets, though, even though they came from Charlotte to be the New Orleans Hornets.
But
I kind of like that better.
But the whole Pelican thing is like they're in – Pelicans are from that area.
Yeah.
Well, not from that area, but they live in that area.
We've been doing this the whole time where just because something's from an area does not mean it's a good name.
Right.
That's kind of where the crux of all this started.
But I do like the Twins. I like the Minnesota Twins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not somebody that needs like the intimidating animal, because I know our call just mentioned that too, like the rebrand for Syracuse, like orange is not intimidating. It's a fruit. It's a color. Like it's not anything special.
Yes.
I don't really – but here – again, would we like that name more if the New Orleans Pelicans weren't a bad organization in the NBA, if they won more?
No. What about the Indiana Pacers?
I like Pacers. I'm fine with Pacers.
Pacers
is fine. Knicks is fine. Celtics is fine.
Knickerblockers is absolutely fine.
See, do they still go by that, or have they changed it to
just
officially
Knicks.
It as Knicks?
But like we all know what it comes from.
Yeah.
I found an origin story of the Bills.
Okay, hit us with it.
Like the full origin.
The full origin.
Yeah. So this is from Yahoo Sports. Buffalo, the Bills' nickname originated from a Buffalo football franchise that played in the All-America Football Conference from 1946 to 1949. The AAFC franchise was called the Bisons in its first year, but there were three other Bisons teams in the city at the time: the minor league baseball team, a professional basketball team, and the American Hockey League team.
They really leaned into that, didn't they?
The owner
should have just went 4-for-4.
Yeah.
The owner at the time, James Bruil, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, who owned Frontier Oil Company, wanted to keep a Frontier theme to his businesses. He selected the Bills from a public contest and gave the $500 to the winning entry.
I do like the public contest, though.
And then,
I think that's the way to do it.
When Ralph Wilson
that's how
founded
we get names like Kraken, though.
When Ralph Wilson founded the Bills in 1960 as an original member of the AFL, mm-hmm. he just kept the name.
Just kept the name.
Yep.
I like the public contest to get it done. All right. 803-0550, the number two call. Still taking your tweets and your calls on the worst sports names or even some that you think are underrated. I do want to get to one Matt tweeted in because I think he might be right, but his reasoning might also be why we're here as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A beautiful Friday
and a beautiful day to argue about team names.
We are under 1 week away from a training camp. The Bills' entire rookie class has signed, thanks to TJ Sanders officially signing his deal this morning. It was announced late last night, so full steam ahead to Wednesday when camp gets underway for the Bills. But today we are having fun talking about the worst sports team names in your opinion. If you also want to throw in the best team name, absolutely happy to hear those as well. But let's keep getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Going to Twitter, Brandon Reddy with essentially every league: NHL, Kraken, NFL, Browns, NBA, Pelicans, MLB, Guardians, and the NCAA. It is a tie between the Orange, Syracuse, and just Bulldogs because there's like 25 teams with that name. I agree on the Bulldogs point because I've gotten there with Tigers. I also didn't even mention, too, LSU and Clemson, who are also both Tigers, also named their stadiums Death Valley. I don't care who came first. One of you got to fight it out to figure out who actually gets to be Death Valley.
One of you got to figure it out.
There is also a real Death Valley that I feel like we're discrediting here.
Correct.
Right.
Like, maybe don't.
I'm okay with that. Mainly because LSU in like August at like 1 o'clock, probably as close as you're going to get before like legally the like city has to tell people to get inside. Probably going to be as hot as it can get. But they play week one. I think the winner of that gets to name their stadium Death Valley for the next 10 years.
Yes.
The real Death Valley is like right near Vegas. Why doesn't UNLV just take it over?
Because of the Rebels.
Well, no, like
the running Rebels.
The stadium name.
Because they're the Rebels.
Because they're the Rebels.
I like that. You're just like.
Also, they'll have to ask the Raiders because they played Allegiant, which is awful. I hate mm-hmm. when college teams in both basketball and football play in NFL stadiums or NBA arenas. It's terrible. Pittsburgh plays at Akershir.
They're not Hines. The running Rebels anymore. They're just the Rebels.
They're just the Rebels?
They're just Rebels.
That's ridiculous.
I think that's better. It's better. Simple, short, sweet, to the point. Rebels
I don't even think
they
were running Rebels. It was running Rebels, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why they got
no
rid of
G.
it.
Oh, man, come on. That's better.
No.
Man, that's
It's like
shame.
Bearcats with a K, which I'm starting to think like Sam Houston's winning this one for me.
It's my favorite.
No, that's the one that's upsetting me the most. Just spell it right. It's a fine nickname, Bearcats, but then you throw a K in there and it's like, who are you, Ed Boone?
Well, you already have the Cincinnati.
That's a Mortal Kombat joke for those that don't grasp it.
Cincinnati Bearcats.
I hope that's
but
not
with
a thing.
But none of the 25 teams spell Bulldogs with a Z.
Well, sure, because they're not original.
Because you're right.
Just be different.
Dare
change
to dream.
The game. Change the game. And hey,
change the game.
While we're on this, Northeastern or Northwestern,
mm-hmm.
both of the Northeastern's fine. Northwestern, on the other hand.
Aren't they the Wildcats?
Yes.
No, not even worried about that part. The Northwestern part of their name. They are not North and they are not Western.
the university. You're mad at the university.
Oh, you're mad at the name of the university. While we're on the topic of branding here, this came up back in March Madness.
They are neither North nor Western.
They are technically going West. But they're in the Midwest.
They're in the middle of the country.
They're in the middle of the country. You're not West.
They are
You're not North. You're not South. You're just call yourself Central University. Hang on.
See, the problem is though, we're gonna look up when Northwestern was, you know, founded, and it'll be like, oh, it's when like the West wasn't settled.
It's gonna
so
be
they
when
were West.
The United States didn't even own that side of the country.
Yeah. So they were technically at the time Northwest.
All right, I need to see where exactly they are on the map now.
Also, Jeremy has entered the chat.
Yes, as we knew he would.
Unsurprising, Kraken.
Yes, we knew he was.
I knew he was going to be there.
We knew this answer was going to be here eventually.
PJB tweets in Utah Jazz. Utah does not scream jazz music. Correct on that.
Northwestern University is definitely not west. It is north, though.
It is north. Fine.
It's pretty north.
I just saw it. It's literally, though, it's on the tip of Lake Michigan.
But it's pretty north.
It is pretty north.
It's almost.
But it's very much not west.
In terms of. In terms of latitude on the planet Earth, it is almost on par with Buffalo. It's right. Pretty north.
But it's not even west in its own state. It's the easternmost part of Illinois.
It's the easternmost part of Illinois.
That's tough. Now, I will say, though, are we saying Illinois is in the Midwest?
Yeah.
The Midwest also has a problem with being called the Midwest. You are not the Midwest. Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, you're not Midwest.
Illinois is.
No. You look at the middle of the country.
The line is like the middle of, it's like you cut a line down the middle of Colorado and like New Mexico and everything. Like that's the farthest west you can be. The farthest east you can be, I would say, is Illinois.
I'd probably look at it as, what side of the Mississippi are you on?
Illinois is on the part of, I can't tell.
Is it cut in the middle of Illinois?
It's kind of like.
I'm not looking at the map. Does it cut in the middle of Illinois or no?
It's kind of, it's a little bit of both. I don't know. It's weird. It's not the half of Illinois, but it's like, part of it.
I bet Northwestern University is not on
They're not on the western side of the Mississippi. I can tell you that much.
I just love Josh Cohen after like, no.
No, because
the Wildcat name is fine.
That.
The school name is absurd.
Wildcat's good name. Great name. Northwestern is not Western.
School name is absurd. 803-0550, the number to call. Matt brings up a good point here, and this is more towards the best names.
I love this.
Sabres, underrated because they stink. And we were bringing this up with some of the names we didn't like, but they won, so you kind of deal with them.
Yes.
I think this is right. The Buffalo Sabres is a great name, and if they won, I think, you know, ESPN doing these lists, Fox Sports, they would bring up Buffalo Sabres as one of the better names
if they won.
Agreed. Think of the graphics, the swords, the whole thing.
Also,
I think that's right. Now, of course, they do have...
Furthermore.
But the Sabres do also have their weird mascot where it's Sabretooth, but they're the Sabres. They're able to kind of mix it together.
I mean, a dancing sword is probably not hitting as good.
Hey, what's wrong with Sammy Sabre?
Yeah, you say that now, dude.
Have you never seen Sammy Sabre?
I mean, I haven't. I'm for the little.
Please search Sammy Sabre. That was a logo.
I already have enough people named Sam in my life that are a pain in my butt. So I'm
it's a little dude. Like, it looks like Clippy, but like a saber.
I'm lazy enough that I don't want to type it in, but not lazy enough to go around and look at it on Zach's computer.
I'm totally in.
This is the beautiful part of
my problem is though, I don't want to, you know, take Sabretooth out of a job here, but also.
No. But hey, I mean,
Sammy Sabre is pretty awesome.
The Bisons have two
Sammy
mascots.
Sabre looks pretty slender.
The Panthers have two mascots.
The Mets have two mascots.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Met.
Yeah. You could introduce Sammy Sabre and have him be best friends with Sabretooth.
Yes, I agree. So
Sabres, I mean, that's an underrated name, but yeah, it's because they haven't been relevant in the NHL for so long, you almost kind of forget about it.
But also before this active playoff drought, they had missed the playoffs for like only 12 years of their history. So like they were actually that kind of team.
They were there.
They were always that kind of team. Like they were actually good. They have this good name. They have one of the cleanest uniforms in hockey. Mm-hmm. And 14 years of hell later, everyone forgets about it.
I appreciate
his point, but I hate that we brought the Sabres depression into this.
Do the NHL have a lot of good names or no?
I
don't really care for Minnesota Wild. I really don't
like logo, though.
The logo is
Wild.
The
logo's fantastic.
Yeah, it's not a good name. A good name does not mean that you don't get a good uniform. And a good uniform, and just the opposite. If you have an awesome name, that doesn't mean that you have to have a good uniform. Mm-hmm. It could mean mm-hmm. that you have a bad one. Yeah, it just – it's one of these things where, like, you look at it and think, like, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you figure out your life once with your logo and brand design?
No.
Because the name makes sense.
It does. They're just trying their hardest. You know which one I like, though, a lot, honestly, is just the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's quick. It's easy. It plays into the hockey motif. There's no penguins in Pittsburgh.
Except for like in a zoo.
In a zoo. But they play into – we're playing hockey. You know, what animal do you think is on the ice? Penguins. Done. I'm waiting for narwhals.
I love the Canadiens and the Canucks.
Yep. I like them a lot.
We are Canada.
I like them a lot. But that's also like that's playing into the name. I like that. That's playing into the history.
There's
where
no
you're
Bruins in the city of Boston.
No, there's no Bruins in the city. But I like Bears. I mean, I'm fine with that. And it's different than like we're the Maine Black Bears.
Yes.
Like you're throwing in a different word to say the same
but
thing.
But there are Black Bears definitely in the forests of Maine.
Agreed.
So that one really does make sense.
Winnipeg Jets.
Eh.
Don't really care for it.
Not good.
Don't really care for it.
I was on the phone there. So did you guys talk about the Blackhawks? The story of the Blackhawks?
Have not gotten to them.
That one, I think, is in terms of coolest stories in NHL teams at least, that's a really good one. The story of the Blackhawks.
We'll go through it.
Okay, well, I don't fully remember it. I got to pull it up here.
That's fine.
The owner of the Blackhawks like served in a division in the Army that was known as the Blackhawk Division. And then, like, hold on, let me pull up the story.
But basically, he was like, that name was too sick to not continue.
Kind of,
and I
yeah.
can respect that. Also, all right, so we got already.
Here we go. In honor of the 86th Infantry Division, nicknamed the Blackhawk Division, which in turn was named after the Sauk Native tribe leader, Blackhawk, the owner of the Blackhawks, served in that division, asked that guy, hey, can I use your name for this sports team name? And he was like, sure.
The logo
is a likeness of that guy.
So
that's, yeah. Anyone out there? Yeah.
So that's also probably why that name hasn't been changed
exactly,
in
because
the last
it was
few years.
It was done the right way.
Yes. It was done that way.
It was done in a respectful manner.
On the Kansas City Royals, love that name.
Really?
Love the Kansas City Royals. I think that flows perfectly. I like that I don't always need it to be, because like we just mentioned, like there's no Bears in Boston.
Right.
But if it works, it works.
Yeah, it's and got just, the Kingly logo to it.
They play that in their stadium because they've got the crown in the back of the stadium. I like Kansas City Royals a lot. I like that a lot. Utah Mammoth.
Here we are with the more recent.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Name hating.
It's not hating. I think that name is going to grow on people. I think that's going to work if they can be good and consistent.
Considering
for a
it was
while,
their second option,
I think that's going to work.
Considering it was the second option, because Yeti was going to be it, but one company was like, no, we're going to get our cups confused. Shut up. Like, you ruined a chance at kind of, but not really, alliteration there.
Yeah.
So thanks, Yeti. Really appreciate that. Now I'll just never. I will never buy anything that's a Yeti, like a Yeti cooler or like they're. Seriously, get over yourself. Let a team share your name. You probably get more profits.
Especially what we've already mentioned. I mean, again.
Yeah, get that out of here.
The SEC has three tigers.
Josh is showing off a Yeti mug, and I'm like, get that out of here.
But I mean, like the SEC's got three tigers. Like we can share.
Yeah, like seriously.
Brandon brought up 25 Bulldogs. Is it two in the SEC?
But also, ready?
Two in the SEC. Georgia,
there's only one Bulldog
State.
In Buffalo.
Boom!
Bang! Got it.
A lot of cats, though, in these
yes.
games. Tigers,
including
Wildcats,
the Bearcats with a K.
Bearcats with a K.
It pisses me off.
There's a lot of them. Panthers.
That one still upsets you.
Jaguars. Bobcats. Nittany Lions. There's a lot of cat names. Nittany
Lions.
There's a lot of wildcats.
What is a Nittany Lion?
A Nittany Lion is a specific type of lion.
Like it's like a mountain lion or like...
Kind of.
Because I just never understood that. I didn't...
Oh, it's a Native American word for mountain lion.
Oh.
Or lion. Oh. Nittany, yep.
All right. I just never knew what Nittany was.
As a matter of fact...
I looked it up real quick.
All right, So I have the worst name of something of all time, though. It's not a sports team. And if someone does make this a sports team name, I might flip. The mountain chicken.
What?
A mountain chicken. So what do you think a mountain chicken is?
I mean, I'm just going to be flat a chicken that's on a mountain, I assume.
I know turkeys are sometimes called thunder chickens.
Zach, real quick, Google a mountain chicken. And I want your reaction live on the air.
It's a frog, man.
That needs to happen tomorrow.
It's a frog.
And on that beautiful note, 803-0550, the number to call. We'll wrap up the Extra Points show coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here on WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Friday right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And it's been brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And we have been getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Before we do that, again, a reminder, TJ Sanders has signed his four-year rookie deal. It is not fully guaranteed, but they're will not be any holdout. I shouldn't even say he was holding out. There won't be one. All the Bills rookies have signed. It looks to be full steam ahead to training camp, which will get going on Wednesday. Also, Nick Emmanuori, the third pick of the second round, did sign his deal with Seattle. His is fully guaranteed, so it's been a bit of a mixed bag for the second rounders. But for the most part, if not completely, it has been big pay bumps for the second-round picks compared to years prior. Now, some last-minute answers here on kind of the question of at least this hour, which has been the worst name in sports.
James tweeting into the station, but I managed to find it here. The state bird of Louisiana is the brown pelican, and it's on the flag. That's why the pelicans are probably the pelicans. Appreciating the relevance on that.
Classics, though, tweets in, New Orleans Pelicans' final answer, a fearsome bird if you're afraid of coastal bird poop.
Yeah,
as like, someone who's been recently pooped on by a bird, I am very terrified.
That is right. So you're like, wait a second.
That happened.
That's legit. Something to be worried about.
I was laying on a beach in Rhode Island. I woke up with bird poop on my shirt.
Mm-hmm. I love that for you, actually.
Dan tweets in, the Calgary Flames, the Atlanta Flames made more sense. Although.
Did they, though?
I'm also trying to think, is Calgary known for oil?
It's pronounced Calgary.
Calgary? Are they known for oil or no?
It's Calgary.
It's Calgary. Get it right.
Oh, no. Here we go.
All right. Well, anyway, they might be because they're pretty close to Edmonton. Actually,
speaking of Canadian teams, though.
That's what I'm thinking. Is that what they were going for? I don't know for sure.
No, it's probably just the Atlanta Flames. They just didn't want to change the name.
They just didn't change it.
But, hey, they pay homage to the Flames with the A on their jerseys is the old Atlanta Flames logo.
That is right.
I will say, I did get a chuckle, though, from Bo Byron fan account. Maple Leafs. Nice grammar. That's just classic chirping right there. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. I know the relevance, though, of the Maple Leaf, the flag of Canada.
Oh, yeah. Like,
can they go back to the Toronto Arenas?
No, because an arena is a bad name. Because that's where you go to play hockey.
I know. That's the funny part.
No. So, like, we would actually be dunking on them more.
Yeah, I know. That's the funny part.
That's what I want.
But they knew to get rid of it. They knew. They knew what they were. They knew what was wrong.
Some names I do like, though, and this is an older, speaking of arena football team, I loved the Philadelphia Soul. That was a good name.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good name. Other names, and so to end a little bit of a positive, other names I really like, and this one I'm happy that they're good again because the name is awesome, the Arizona State Sun Devils. I think the Sun Devils in Arizona, perfection.
All right, so I think we need to objectively give our final answers on what the worst team name in sports is.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't dunk on the Cincinnati Reds enough, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we were going to do this to the Syracuse Orange, why not the Cincinnati Reds, who shortened their team name from Red Legs? But that's not my answer. It's still Bearcats with a K. Sam Houston, watch out.
Bearcats with a K.
No, that objectively has to be. And coming from someone who had to attend ECC as a like coming out of high school. That team name is also Cats with a K. Mm-hmm. Nope, not excused from this. If you have your team name spelled like that, you're not Mortal Kombat. Grow up.
I think I'm going to go with Stanford Cardinal. TJ got me there. The fact that it's a singular Cardinal for sports teams, plural, incredible. Incredible. And the fact that their mascot is a tree.
Josh?
I'm sticking with the Boilermakers.
There it is.
These are fighting words.
I was hoping somebody would stick with it.
Nope,
I couldn't do it.
Nope.
And I kind of like the Syracuse Orange. I just kind of like the fact that they really did just stick with a color and the fruit.
That's it.
Actually, I kind of like it. There is one that we forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
Western Kentucky.
Oh, the Hilltoppers.
The Hilltoppers.
Yeah, that's not a good
one. That works for me.
That one, I'm replacing. Boilermakers is a very close second. I forgot about Western Kentucky. Their logo is someone waving a flag. And their mascot
is
that flag. It's
a
towel, actually.
Isn't the mascot like an abomination?
Oh, yeah. But he's so good.
Oh, my God.
He is so good.
That thing's like gritty before gritty.
No.
Which is iconic.
He's a different kind of vibe.
It's a different animal. I like it. I like Hilltoppers.
His name is Big Red.
It's different. Yeah, we have too many tigers and bulldogs and all that. I like a little bit of different. This has been very fun today
of like just random. Like this is just random hater energy,
mm-hmm.
which is not supposed to be really productive. But we were trying to do it in a fun way today, though. So thank you to everyone that tweeted, called in, for joining us here on the second hour of a wild discussion. This has been the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. Sabres Live coming up next for you here on WGR.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.